This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're live at Tap 99 and outside Kilwins here in Navy Yard outside the center field gate at Nats Park, where there's a lot of people that are starting to stream out. It's still a close game, but also some of the people streaming out, Shaq was badgering people in the break. Be like, hey, why are you leaving early? You're like, because I want to get home. There were a fair amount of people leaving in Terps jerseys. So I do wonder if there's some folks, depending on where they live in the DMV with the traffic situation, if they are trying to get home in time for the Maryland game. Guys, you can go back inside and just listen to the start of the game on the Team 980. See, that's what we're out here solving people's problems. I almost had another problem, though, Shaq. So, in the break, I was joking earlier. I can't have, the flag that is waving here just finally blocked the sun. I need that flag. Can the people in the fire truck put the flag back where it's not in my face like it has been for 3 hours? Can they do it? Hey, thanks, guy. So I just got this sorbet from Kilwins, which I was joking earlier. They put me outside of like a chocolate shop, and I'm lactose intolerant, so that almost feels like that's personal, honestly. But they have some sorbet in there, so I can eat that. This is delicious.
Wow. What is it?
This is so good. It's a lemon sorbet. It did give me a brain freeze, though, which I tried to eat it so slowly. But if you ever, I'm guessing most people listening or walking by laughing at me like I'm a buffoon have never hosted a radio show. There is a speed at which you eat during a commercial break during a radio show that you don't even realize that you're capable of eating at. And apparently I accidentally applied that speed to this sorbet. And when we came out of commercial break, if you saw me squinting, one, it's because of the sun. And two, it's because I had a brain freeze. So, excellent work out of me. No notes. Earning my paycheck today. So there's that. Kilwins, everybody. Go and have their sorbet. It's delicious. And if you eat it quickly, it will give you a proper brain freeze. All right. Believe it or not, this show is about to get dumber. Max, hit the button. Let's do Never Read the Comments.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, this is how this works. This very silly radio program not only streams live on YouTube at the Team 980, but we cut it up into digestible pieces. We put those on YouTube, not only the Team 980 in our on-demand section, but at Craig Hoffman. You leave comments on them. We read the most interesting ones, I'll say. It's definitely not the best ones. Some of them are honestly terrible, but that's what makes them good, if you will. Again, the theme of this radio show is when we're good, we're good. When we're bad, we're really good. Yep, we'll do a fist bump. But if you listen to the show, you know, don't distract me while I'm on air because, yeah, because the ADD and it's now I'm off track. And see, I told you, sir. Yeah, but no, the fist bump, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. I did the bit because we're on the Never Read the Drive home safely and please listen to the show. All right. Well, we have the comment section on YouTube. And despite the fact that you can see us, you'd be surprised what we get. We always try to start off with an amuse-bouche, if you will. Just a silly comment to get us going before we dive into the latest on the Commanders, the Wizards, the whatever the people are commenting on. And we played earlier in the week our very silly annual game, Is That Guy a Washington National? Because I, as the guy broadcasting outside the game, there's a reason I'm out here and Grant and Danny, for instance, are in there. They do the well. One, it's because the games air on their station. Two, they do know more about the baseball than me. I try to hold my own in other places. But we had Toby Altizer come over, quiz me and Anthony. We made absolute fools of ourselves. It was one of the five best segments we've ever done in the history of the radio show. And Browning Bridges commented, "Grant, you're awesome. I've been following you since you were the little guy for the Freelance Star. It's great to see your progress and success, Craig. I'm been a new follower, but I love the content. This game was fun." Hashtag Natitude, dude, hashtag Hail, hashtag all caps, hashtag Cooper Flag, fingers crossed. Which, I mean, yeah, that should be the Wizards' current hashtag. Here's the thing. Grant wasn't in that video. Toby was in the video. Toby hosts Bustin' Loose Baseball with Grant. Grant was down the hall doing his show at that time. Grant wasn't in that segment. He might have been referenced in that segment as the co-host with Toby on the show, but if you've been following Grant since he was the wee lad doing the work for the Freelance Star, Browning Bridges, thank you, welcome. I love your enthusiasm. It's just that Grant wasn't there. That's all there is to say about that. All right. Continuing on to actual substance of the week. One of one of the segments that we got the most traction on was when we talked about Terry McLaurin and his extension, which is pending. And when I say pending, it's not like there's reporting, there's anything new on that. We just know that it's extension season. Terry is due for an extension. He should get paid a whole lot of money. But the question is, how much? So I think a variety of different comments here that I thought are interesting. You got people throwing out different numbers. I said three for 90 million, maybe three for 100, but ultimately it's really more of a $30 million a year guarantee type of thing. Spike JG says, yep, agreed with that. But I think there's a lot of things like what Tim said. They need to pay the guy. He deserves it. He is the leader of this team. And I think that one of the things that is underrated sometimes in sports is how you treat your players, and especially the players who have done things the right way. And that is part of the reason why I think Terry should be paid the 30 and no doubt about it, in the same way that they went ahead and they paid Sam Cosmi. Because at the end of the day, if you're not going to pay Terry McLaurin, who finally, with the best quarterback he's ever played with by 78,000 miles, and a new coach and culture that other folks,
John Allen,
did not necessarily adapt to quite as well. Sorry, did I say that out loud? Didn't adapt to as well. He adapted to the culture, was a leader on and off the field, played his best, set the team touchdown record, and if that doesn't get you paid, what on earth does? And so, yes, figuring out the actual number is complicated, but for instance, like King Slim 202, who loves to show up, by the way, this time of year, fancies himself a draft scout, says maybe $25 million a year for Terry. Terry ain't worth $30 million. I love him like everyone else. I still don't think he's worth that much of the salary cap. Maybe if he had a multiple 1,200 or 1,400 yard seasons or multiple double-digit touchdown seasons, it's only a few wide receivers worth that or more, and they already got that contract. And if you want to make the argument that no receiver that's not Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase is worth $30 million, okay, but I'd also tell you to update your calendar. It's not 2022 anymore. In 2025, there are now five, maybe six, seven. I'm trying to remember how many it actually is right now versus how many it is after Terry and like two or three other guys that might get paid this offseason get paid. But I think the number's up to seven, with DK being the latest. And especially now that you have Myles Garrett making 40 as a non-quarterback and Jamar Chase making close to 40 as a wide receiver at slash non-quarterback. And the salary cap has gone up, not immeasurably, because it's a salary cap. You can measure that. I'm not very good at math, but someone is. has gone $20 million up the last 2 years, way more than anticipated. The percent salary cap of what you think a $25 million receiver is just not what a $25 million receiver is anymore. That guy is now a $30 million receiver, and thus I believe that Terry is worth that $30 million. Continuing on, never read the comments here on the Hoffman Show. We did our mock draft 2.0 last week on Take Command. By the way, fantastic conversation today on Take Command with Mike Renner. That should be in. I actually haven't updated the feed or updated my feed. I haven't refreshed, but I'm pretty sure that is in the feed right now. Our producer William doing a great job getting that thing flipped. But me, Logan, Mike Renner, CBS Sports NFL Draft Analyst. If you want that, check that out. Full episode on YouTube at Take Command. If you prefer to watch us, by the way, Renner decided to go mustache on us. Nasty looking mustache. Nasty compliment looking mustache on Mike Renner today, if you want to check that out on the YouTubes. But Kevin Roll 8299 says, if an exceptional edge who can make an immediate impact is available, it seems like he has to be picked before diverging off into areas that are not needs. Edge is one of the biggest needs on the roster next to DB and RB as defensive back and running back. Taking a guard and a receiver with those first two, which is what we did in the mock draft, it seems like you're missing out on some premier talent at areas of needs. Did that guy just go, let's go Giants? You realize you don't have to say that out loud?
How embarrassing.
All right. A self-identifying
luck,
Giants fan. He said it out loud. He could just keep that to himself. Wow. Wow. Why would you? All right. Wow, that was. Maybe he's a. Are the Giants baseball team good? I don't know. We're outside a baseball game because I know the football team isn't. Anyway, the point is, if the Commanders have an edge sitting there, yes, they should probably take that player. And my response to this comment on YouTube was, but there wasn't one. And that's the thing about where the Commanders are in the draft right now. And I think Renner did a really good job of talking about this today on today's edition of Take Command, is that you do not have to reach based off what you did in free agency. That is a very different statement than you should be very happy with where this team is post-free agency. Yes, if they can add a premier edge, a guy with pass rush juice like Donovan Ezeraku, the defensive end edge player out of Boston College, a little bit lighter in his build, but he's got real juice and really great. And Reiner said he thinks he has the best hands in the draft, including Abdul Carter. Now, Carter's got a more complete package and a better player, but that's how skilled of a pass rusher this guy is. If he's there at 29, then absolutely you should consider taking him. But if that kind of talent is not there, just take the best player on the board at any position. There's literally not a position outside of quarterback, because of what you did last year at quarterback, that I would not endorse the Commanders taking the true best player on the board in the first round with. That is, if Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan, is there, he might be the best tight end in this draft. Like, Tyler Warren's really good. They're in the same relative tier. They're different kinds of players. And I think that Loveland is more of like a Zach Ertz-style replacement. Warren's got a little bit more blocking juice to him. He's a more complete player. But if you want a pass catcher, like, Loveland might be your guy. You get him at 29, like, sick. You want a guard if it's the right guy? Okay, fine. Probably don't need a center. Okay, maybe that's the other position. But if you get a wide receiver, you get a corner, you get a safety, especially considering the safeties who might be on the board there, Amanwori and Malachi Starks. Like, I'm good with any of those dudes based off what they did in free agency over, well, let me reach for a guy that I'd much rather take at 55 or 49 than 29. Take someone that's worth the 29th pick. And that's what we ultimately did in this mock draft. Kevin also asked, why don't you guys offer trades for your own? That would be cool. We will do a mock draft like that soon, where we kind of do it pick by pick. And if someone falls where we think the Commanders might wind up trading up, we will definitely do that. I thought this was an interesting comment as well. Also, it's an interesting screen name. Again, I don't make these up. These are real comments off of the internet segment called Never Read the Comments. It would take way too much time to make up. @DJ_LadyKiller. DJ Lady Killer. says, I'm sorry, but who is here from the team that is still here that was picked in the late 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds? Every time any analyst preaches trading back in the history of my beloved franchise, we have gotten nothing that sticks, nothing that is ready, nothing that has developed into, I'm just saying, the history of trading back hasn't worked. This is not true. Like, that's not how that works. There are, one, the history of this franchise is in the last 25 years, right? Outside of last year where Adam Peters had a very good draft, is littered with absolute failures of general managers and talent scouts who we shouldn't really particularly listen to and not really consider saying, oh, this is the precedent. No, that was the precedent for them because they were bad at their jobs. The people in charge now are good at their jobs, and that is a relevant piece of information. Two, if you want to trade back, for instance, out of the end of the second round into the third, currently your starting running back and Terry McLaurin, the best player on your team, are third round picks. That seems like a good place to find good talent. Fourth rounders, you can find, you know, they're starting guards, for instance, starting linebackers all over the NFL. Back in San Francisco, there's a guy named Fred Warner. I believe he was a fifth rounder, if I'm remembering correctly, although he might have been a third and Nefungo was the fifth. Either way, they got all pro caliber players there. George Kittle was a fifth round pick. So, yes, these guys can absolutely work out. Now, because they're later round picks, they might not. But it's also worth pointing out that some of your best special teams guys come there, and they're cheap contracts, they're backups, they're stars on special teams, and some of those you even get as undrafted free agents. You know, right now, Tyler Owens, Jeremy Reeves, those are undrafted free agent type guys who are studs on special teams. Percy Butler's a baller on special teams, backup caliber safety, but a baller on special teams, fourth round pick. So, yes, am I hoping that they have a development plan for some of the guys later, such as Dominique Hampton they took last year, gave a redshirt year two, and are hoping that he has a much bigger role and after a position change in 2025 than he did in 2024, where he was active, I think, for one game. Yeah, of course. But the idea of if the draft is basically playing the lottery, if I tell you, you have to win the lottery, don't you want the most number of tickets? So that ultimately is what trading back is turning one lottery ticket into two or three. And considering the Commanders are sitting on 5 draft picks right now going into this draft and 5 for next year, you need to replenish your stash of lottery tickets. So a trade down definitely feels like it should be on the table. Our other big topic of the week was, I don't know if it's asymmetrical warfare, because he was responding. It's just we weren't responding directly to each other. But the back and forth that we virtually had with Connor Orr, the Monday morning quarterback, Sports Illustrated pundit, who said on his podcast that the Commanders are microwaving their offseason. And I said that was wrong, silly, and all the evidence that he had was, like, not remotely close to painting an accurate picture. You know, just light criticism for those that were interested. If you want to check out the original segment. But Mitch M240 says, I don't think the national media is missing the mark at all. I think they are giving an accurate assessment, and local media and fans are vastly overrating this offseason. As a lifelong fan, I have been very disappointed in this offseason. I can't believe we did not do more with the cap space we had. Tunsil is the only move I can at least understand. I don't really understand the obsession with spending other people's money on things that aren't worth that money. And that goes for your football team spending it on football players who aren't worth paying. This was a bad free agent class, and I feel like a broken record because I've said this a million times. It was a bad free agent class. Yeah, that guy agrees. He gets it. Because the cap keeps going up more than teams expect. And so all the players that would get to free agency that are good, the teams that have them go, hey, you're good. We'd like to keep you. And now we have the money to do it. Oh, cool. That's how budgets work. We found money in the budget. Hi. Thanks for listening to the show, even if it's just while you walk by. Yeah, the budget. See, she's paying attention. But if you find money in the budget to pay for something that you couldn't anticipate or you didn't think you had money for, then you're going to pay for the thing because you wanted it. You don't have to make those cuts. And so guys like Alaric Jackson with the Rams, the left tackle, guys like Ronnie Stanley with the Ravens, who they thought were going to be free agents, all of a sudden the final cap number gets in, and they're like, oh, sweet, we can afford that guy. He's not going to be a free agent. He's coming back. And so you have to understand the market in which you're playing in. And so if Laramie Tunsil is the only move that I understand. Oh, you mean when they traded for the franchise left tackle they couldn't get in free agency? You understand it? That's a good start. That's a good start. But at the end of the day, you have to understand the kind of the sandbox you're playing in. You have to know where there are opportunities, and it's not always going to look the same, which was the entire premise of the segment I did criticizing Connor Orr, was that he was basing all of his things, all of his criticism, based off of other teams in other times who did other things. And at the end of the day, like, oh, you can't microwave. You can't trade away stuff and spend big money on a. You have to always build through the draft. Like, the Seahawks did it around Russell Wilson. Like, there's plenty of examples of young quarterbacks who succeeded with talent being added a variety of ways. You just happen to pick a bunch of them, including your favorite team in the Jets, who stunk around Mark Sanchez, in part because Mark Sanchez wasn't that good. All due respect, doing a fine job for Fox, but. Did funny as heck guy when he was here. I was still on the beat then. I covered the Mark Sanchez era. I know because I was there. But not that great of an NFL quarterback. So I think that the national media is missing the mark, in part because they're painting an incomplete picture, part because the Commanders also aren't doing the thing that they're engaging or they're accusing them of doing. And if you choose to believe that over people who pay attention to this every day and, you know, reading a little bit more, there's only so much I can do to help you. That's Never Read the Comments, everybody. If you would like to leave your comment on our show, you can do so on YouTube at Craig Hoffman or at the Team 980. We stream it live daily at the Team 980. All of the best parts go up on the show or on the personal page at Craig Hoffman. Also, don't forget, we have a whole separate channel for our women's sports coverage, including a fresh interview with Washington Spirit's Ashley Hatch. They play over there, across that street. Nats play there. Spirit and DC United, they play over there. We're just in the middle of it all. Now we got music going in the background and everything to play us out. The thing is, if they're trying to play us out, it's not the Oscars. I'm not going to leave. The show's required to go till 7. I would if they just, we can put on their music for the rest of the show. No, Metal Chris is telling me I got to stay. Yeah, just get. Can we mic them up? They're good. They're great. But anyway, the point is, fresh interview with Washington Spirit's Ashley Hatch, youtube.com/@HoffmanWSports. That concludes all of the plugs for this portion of the show. When we get back, all eyes on Maryland tonight. Kevin Willard and company. We will talk about the air kind of sitting over the game. You'll hear what Chris Nockey said earlier on in the show about that, and we'll dive a little bit into some of the key names you should know ahead of the Terps showdown with the Gators tonight. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're broadcasting live outside of Tap 99, center field gate outside of Nats Park. Half hour live outside of Tap 99 down in Navy Yard outside of Nats Park on the Hoffman Show, where the Nationals inside are trying to fend off a top of the ninth inning rally from the Phillies. The game is tied 3-3, two outs, runner on second. As, let's see, something just changed. Nope, Kepler's still at bat. So we'll see if Kyle Finnegan can get the Nats out of this and then get the home team at bat with a chance to win it in the bottom of the ninth and send everybody home happy on opening day, except for those terrible Eagles fans and Phillies fans who were by earlier, and I hope that they would be very sad. Earlier today, had Chris Nockey on the show, the Maryland radio analyst for Maryland basketball. And, of course, tonight, following us in about 25 minutes here on the Team 980, you'll hear the pregame show, and then you'll get the game about 7:40 is the tip time. Of course, you can watch it. Kevin Harlan and his crew on the call, so it should be an entertaining watch. But we got Nockey and Johnny Holiday and everybody here on the Team 980. But it's been an interesting day because so much of the talk, you think on a game, like this is the biggest Maryland men's basketball game in almost a decade. They're in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016, second time since 2003. Everything should be about the game. And it's not, because the questions about the coach and whether or not he's going to leave are seemingly hanging over all of it. And I talked at length earlier on in the show about why I actually think Kevin Willard is doing the right thing. The short version of that, if you did not hear it, is that you only have leverage for so long. and you've got to use it. And if he genuinely thinks this is the best thing for the program, then he should do it. And even if he winds up not getting what he wants and leaves, hopefully they listen to some of the stuff that he has to say, and he leaves the program in a better place than he found it. That's ultimately what you want from any steward, and ultimately college coaches are that. Like, they're not people, unless you get a Krzyzewski or, you know, whoever that stays for 30, 40, whatever years, then you're just not going to get that kind of loyalty, that kind of, I'm just here no matter what. And even Krzyzewski, like, he legitimately flirted with the Lakers job, I think, twice in the early 2000s. So it's not like Duke was able to make it so that he didn't want to leave. And Maryland has not made it so that, obviously, that Kevin Willard doesn't potentially want to leave. But I think that is a separate deal from, is it a distraction? Like, we can have both of those conversations at once. And I asked Chris Nockey, who's with the team and who is around this program and knows this program, I would argue, better than anybody, earlier on the show when he joined us, how much the Willard story is actually affecting the basketball team. Here's what Coach had to say.
I think that it's a bigger deal for the donors and alumni who are here, and I feel for them, quite honestly. Some of them have contributed money. All of them have contributed time, you know, to this program. And you know, if in fact Kevin leaves, then it's a loss. You know, there's no question about it. He's a good coach. I think it's a bigger deal for those folks and for the program itself than it is for this group of players. And I hope that makes sense. I just think that for this group and this core, they've had a pretty singular focus for most of the last 2.5 months. And they've risen to the challenge pretty much at every turn.
And I think that also just speaks to the mentality of how players are. Like, do they care long-term about this? Yes. And if Kevin Willard isn't focused on these games, then yes, it could affect his coaching. Is his mind wandering when he's watching tape, whatever? Like, is it possible? Of course. These are human beings. But I also think part of the human experience is being able to multitask and do multiple things at once. And I have no doubt that when they're at practice and they're working on their scout and they're working on making sure that they're as sharp as they can be for this game tonight against Florida, that no one's, like, Kevin Willard's not thinking about the Villanova job. He's locked into those kids, and those kids are locked into what they're supposed to do. Then they go back and they work with their assistants and they work with, you know, their teammates to shore up any film, whatever they want, to lock in on any details, go over their notes, like whatever it is they do to get ready for the games. And maybe they talk about it at a team meal, but they also might have, like, they would have talked about non-basketball stuff at that anyway. I would say a team meal, maybe not a true team meal, but like if they're just two of them hanging out eating lunch or a snack in the room, like, hey, what do you think about if Coach leaves? And half of them might be like, I don't care, I'd be leaving anyway. Like, I'm gonna check the portal and see what's out there for me if I don't get the money I want. Like, the other thing is to think about, while alums and fans are thinking about this purely from the Maryland side of it, like, I bleed, you know, bleed red, whatever, the kids are the ones that are also probably pretty fed up with some of the stuff that Willard's complaining about in the first place. In many ways, they might feel like he's on their side. And so he can get out in front of the team tonight and pull one of the, a lot of stuff going on in the media, the school's not support, like, it's about us in this locker room type of stuff, and it would probably resonate with them. Because they have friends who go to other schools. They have former AAU teammates that are out there. Like, these guys talk. Like, they're young adults, but they're adults. And they talk to each other. They know what the score is. They know how much money the other guys are getting from NIL. They know, like, oh yeah, when we went to that tournament in New York City, we did get to stay the extra night. So the stuff that Willard's fighting for is also stuff that the kids want. And especially when you're a kid, you're very self-interested. They don't have any loyalty to Maryland. Like, sure, it's a great story that Derek Queen decided to stay home. But, like, when he was asked about it, yeah, he was like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. But he's asked about it the post game, and he's like, hey, I know where the money is. Like, Derek Queen's at Maryland because they paid him. And it was a smart investment for Maryland. But that's what college athletics is at this point, specifically in men's basketball. women's basketball, football, like the best players. That's how it operates. If someone else had offered Derek Queen a better deal, he would have went somewhere else. He's not there out of loyalty to the state and because he thinks, you know, whatever about the University of Maryland that you as an alum who majored in insert major here feels. And so I think that often, like, we project – this is the human experience. So I'm not – I am saying this critically, but I'm saying this critical of everyone out there, including myself. We often project our own feelings – onto the way we feel about a situation. How would I feel if I was in the protagonist's shoes? How would I feel if I was in this person's shoes? Which person in the story do I identify with the most, and how would I feel, and how could they possibly explain away that behavior? People often want to see best intentions. And so for people that feel passionately about this, I get it. I'm not pretending like I don't. I'm not trying to be obtuse about this and say that nobody cares. This is the way it goes. You just have to get over it in a way that is unempathetic. I'm saying it in a way that is empathetic, that says, hey, I get it. I understand. Unfortunately, this is the way it goes. And probably the best thing for you, fan, who might or may not be an alum, is to get over it. That just saying, you want to know what? This is what it is. And I hope that Willard stays because I like him, or like, screw this guy, I hope he leaves because I actually don't think he's that good of a coach anyway. He's doing us a favor. Either way, like, whatever you feel about Kevin Willard, you feel about Kevin Willard. But I would hope that it doesn't get in the way of enjoying the game tonight. Now, there's a chance that Florida gets in the way of enjoying the game tonight. They're a ridiculously good basketball team. And that is the kids and Willard and all of theirs number one focus tonight, is how do we deal with Walter Clayton and this monstrosity of a Florida basketball team that is an absolute behemoth and probably would have been the number one overall seed in most of the last 10 tournaments, and instead they're stuck behind a couple others in this one. Like, they're good. And so if it doesn't go Maryland's way tonight, we'll probably have clarity on this by the end of the week. I would hope Willard at least would wait till tomorrow. That feels like the classier thing to do. If not, wait till the weekend. You can have a thing, and you know, if it gets leaked, it gets leaked. But Willard, at the very least, like, giving these kids a chance to feel the love for making it farther than any Maryland team has in a long time. But at the end of the day, like, the game is the game, and there's a business behind the game. That is how sports work. But hopefully, when the ball goes up tonight, you just enjoy the game. And you can do that right here on the Team 980. Pregame, just 17 minutes away now as we lead you into Terps coverage tonight. 7:40, the estimated tip time. You know how the NCAA tournament goes. Things are very precise, just not the times that they advertise necessarily. Because, again, if there's another lesson from earlier on in the show, they're very good to their sponsors. And not necessarily everybody else. 7:40 tonight is the estimated tip time out there in San Francisco. When we get back, we wrap up the show. Nats have gotten it to the bottom of the ninth. I do believe, despite a rally, yes, they have gotten to the bottom of the ninth unscathed. So 3-3 as the game heads to the bottom of the ninth. We'll let you know if the Nats can end this thing or whether it's headed to extras. And, of course, we'll do real things, real people said, in real microphones next. Here on the Team 980. First, a look at what's trending.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
It is opening day across Major League Baseball, which is always a funny thing. In that, hey, it's opening day. Nobody plays tomorrow. Welcome, the game that we're gonna then have 160 more games in the next 200 days, but nobody plays tomorrow. But here's what we got around Major League Baseball today: Phillies and Nats tied at 3 here in Navy Yard, headed to the bottom of the ninth. Boston beat Texas 5-2. Red Sox open with a win. Pirates up 4-2 on Miami. Cleveland, they are up 5-4 in the top of the 10th, so that's an extras. Hey, everybody, the Mets are losing. No reaction? Really? Okay. That's something that the Philly fans and the Nats fans can agree on. I can't say what that guy said, but you can guess. The Mets are losing 3-0 to the Astros. Nobody likes them either. Braves, Padres, 4-4, bottom 7. St. Louis up 3-0 on Minnesota, bottom of the third earlier today. The Orioles, 12-2 winners over Toronto. Yankees up win 4-2 over Milwaukee. And that concludes the day, most of the days. Giants, they won 6-4 over Cincinnati. White Sox, they beat the Angels 8-1. So I got a couple more games to go tonight. Of course, locally, the other top team or the other teams are in action as well. I should say the Wizards hosting the Pacers 7 o'clock over at Capital One Arena, and then the Wild are hosting the Caps tonight up in Minnesota. Ovi looking to add to his goal tally. 7:30, the puck drops. That's what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. All right, we're wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show. The Team 980 always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming and squinting live on YouTube. That sun somehow, I thought it was in the worst position it could possibly be for the entire show, and it's just dropped right in my face. Max, you ever just, like, I do this a lot when I'm on planes, and I'm just like, you get off the plane and you go, I can't believe that much time has elapsed, and all I did was sit on this plane.
Was or just like, sit there, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel right now. So the Nats and the Phillies are now in the top of the 10th inning. They have played 9 innings of baseball. I have sat here and talked into a microphone about other stuff the entire time. They paid me for it. That's nice. This is somehow my job. But I have sat on my butt here. I guess I stood a little bit. I wandered around a little bit. I did have some sorbet from Kilwins at one point as we're live at Kilwins and Tap 99 outside the ballpark. But mostly, I sat here and talked the entire time they played 9 innings of baseball. My show is not over, and neither is the game. My show started at 4. That game started inside at 4:05. Yes, can you guys believe it? I'm still sitting here. Still talking. Yep, go me. Go sitting. I said sitting, everybody. Sitting. It's an FCC-regulated show. All right. Coming up in 9 minutes, Maryland pregame here on the Team 980. Terps getting ready to go. Got some folks fired up. I just did have some Gator fans walk by. They went that way if you guys want to go chase them. But yeah, I probably shouldn't say that. Especially the Philly fans. Y'all get wild. But yeah, if you're looking for, nobody cares about Michigan. I mean, at least not today. This is my least favorite bit. Why do people wear shirts of teams to games that aren't playing? I've done this whole bit at Capital One Arena. I'm not going to do it again. Congratulations, you have a shirt. Nobody cares about your team. Your team's not playing right now. That's the short version of the bit. But Maryland getting going. We got our pregame coming up at 7 o'clock here on the Team 980. Full coverage, obviously, tomorrow. Also, everybody, tomorrow, Maryland women playing in their Sweet 16 game. Lady Terps, also right here on the Team 980. We will have the coverage starting at 5 o'clock. Very excited to have the ladies, the Lady Terps. It's your birthday. Too bad you're not wearing a cooler shirt.
I know.
All right, well, you have to go celebrate over there. Thank you. Happy birthday. All right. There was a guy in a Phillies shirt, everybody. And a Phillies jacket. At least he was smart enough to wear a jacket because it's starting to get chilly. All right, Nats again. They're tied 3-3, top of the 10th. If you want the play-by-play, you can flip over to 106.7 The Fan and stop listening to whatever I'm doing right now. We wrap up our radio show each and every day, though, with something we like to call Real Things Real People Said into real microphones. And today, it's the thing that we've spent most of the day talking about. Max, the button, please. Often this is a very silly segment, but just to set the tone heading into Maryland pregame tonight, this is the actual sound from yesterday's press conference when Kevin Willard was asked about everything floating around his comments about his future at the University of Maryland.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right, going at like 38%. So really, the last couple days, I'm trying to come up with a game plan to stop, you know, Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen. And then really, you know, obviously trying to fix our rebounding woes have been at the top of my mind too. So, yeah, it's a big problem.
And that's how you do it. I typically hate when coaches do that stuff. Drives me absolutely nuts. Absolutely hate it. But in this particular case, for all of the... Yes, Kevin Willard started all this himself, and we've talked throughout the show today. If you're just tuning in and you want to hear my thoughts on it, we got a podcast. Just search the Hoffman Show in your favorite podcast app. But it's now game time. Like, that, the time to talk about that stuff was earlier in the week. He did the first stuff before a round of 64 game. That, yeah, if he had lost that, that would have been a bad time. But now, it's go time. It's the Sweet 16. It's the first time they've been there since 2016. It is the first time that Willard's ever played on the second weekend or coached on the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. And so, rather than give new headlines, give it more air, yes, people have talked about it today, our show included, filling in the blanks. You said the message to your team in that moment that now we're not worried about any of that other stuff. We're worried about Florida. Tonight, the rubber meets the road, or the hardwood more specifically, and we'll see what his team's got. Pre-game starts right here on the Team 980 in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, Terps basketball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.